Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a perfect deed to follow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully said by Hadrat Shah Sahib, Shah Ta'ullah Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Hadrat Shah Ta'ullah Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Ulama ul Baymiya that the Indian subcontinent has not produced an orator like you. Orator of that caliber that if you start after Isha till the Fajr Azan, one speaker. And they say that if you read Quran beautifully, from the Sayyid Khandan he was, and some of his biographers say that when he should read Quran, the stars should lower themselves to listen, to explain how beautiful he should read Quran. He stated that we are fortunate that we are amongst the last ummah. There is no ummah after our ummah. After ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no other ummah. After Kitabullah, Quran Kareem, there is no other kitab. After Shariat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no other Shariat. And after Tahweel al-Qibla, the changing of the Qibla from Jerusalem to Kaabatullah, and Kaabatullah is now a Qibla, there will be no other Qibla. So Shariat, there is no Shariat after Shariat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as per Hadith. There is no Qibla besides Kaabatullah. There is no Ummat after Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no Nabi after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no Rasul after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Shaki should add that there is no Ilah besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one worthy of worship besides Allah Rabbul Izzah. Respected elders, for the understanding of deen, because deen is comprehensive and deen is all embracing, meaning that every moment of our life is supposed to be controlled by the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as expounded by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, he once mentioned that in order to understand the various faculties of deen and in order to understand the various divisions of effort of deen, then we can divide the deen for our comprehension and understanding into four divisions. One is Surat Adeen, and number two, Sirat Adeen, and number three, Hakikat Adeen, and number four, Ishaat Adeen. And also that there are various Marakis Adeen. Marathi is headquarters of deen, from where deen is spread and propagated. One is the Masajid, and number two is the Darul Ulooms, and number three, in South Africa we call it Maktab, some places they call it Madrasa, where elementary Islamic education is imparted. For tahfuz, for protection of deen, that is most essential. And fourthly, the khanqahs, wherein the mashayikh sit to reform mankind. respected elders, if we look at this surat again, surat will refer to all that is external, all that is outside, all that is visible. For example, the masjid, the walls of the masjid, the structure of the masjid, construction of the masjid, the member, the mihrab, the fans and the windows, the toilet facilities. This external appearance and these external features would go into surat al-Hadid that you can see, you can visualize. Similarly, in the darulums, as in the madrasas and makatibs and khankas, the structure of that, the structure of the darulum, the external structure, the brick and the mortar and the mud, the carpet and the fan and the electricity, the computers inside, the library inside, everything will be classified as surat al-Hadid. And this is essential and a necessity for Islam, that we should have masajid, makatib, darulum, khankas, all that we should have for the upkeep of deen, promotion of deen, propagation of deen, and security of deen. And alhamdulillah, in our country, especially after the apartheid regime bid farewell, that wherever Muslims have gone, especially to the restricted white areas, they quickly put one Jamaat Khana and began constructing some madrasas to identify ourselves. Surat al-Hadid will also pertain to and refer to the external features of a Muslim. The external features of a Muslim, the beard, because that is wajib. The beard is sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but jurisprudently speaking, it is wajib. It is compulsory. According to all four a'immah. And it is haram to cut or shave or trim. Yes, you got a fistful of beard, you can trim it. Respected elders, so this external appearance, that is also an integral part of surat al-Hadid, and it is an automatic propagation of it. On return from Hajj, we had the opportunity of passing through Istanbul, Turkey. And there, because unfortunately the Muslims are confused there, Westernism has reached its height there. Just to walk with your kurta and your head and beard and your family members in hijab, that's mujahida. That is mujahida, and the people unfortunately have gone so far in recognizing the surat al-Hadid that on numerous occasions, we were there only for 2 days and a night, on numerous occasions they were asking, are you Muslim? Are you Muslim? Now can you imagine what has happened, that when we left the, just the surat, the external of the deed, that a person cannot recognize who is Muslim, and he thinks he is some type of a Muslim. And the one who is trying to go towards the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can't think that this person here is Muslim. And some around, you say, no, it's a Taliban, or fundamentalist, or terrorist. So, just to walk in those gullies is mujahida and is propagation. A Muslim does not have to do any else. He just has to walk in those bazaars with an external surat al-Hadid, even in Cairo, the same situation. Respected elders, we should be grateful and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the ulama ikram
whom we are always criticizing and classifying as orthodox, that word, what they know about life. They haven't seen anything. They are sitting in the well. They must come out and see the world. That at least they have given us the external appearance of this. And the external appearance of Muslims, respected elders, the person who goes closer to the Sunnah, the more the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend upon him, his family, and the locality. Especially the youth, I appeal to adorn the beard, to adorn the dress of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to look like Muslims, to behave like Muslims. Because external is very important. External shows what is internal. Because the stronger the inside, the stronger the outside, the weaker the inside, the weaker the outside. And this external is an identification for us. It's a symbol for us. Respected elders, so all these things which I'm speaking about refer to surah and the externals of this, the outsides of this, our method of burial, our method of dafan, our method of lamenting, our method of mourning, which is externally visible to mankind, we will classify as surah. Then we come to Seerat-e-Deen. Before I start that, what I actually wanted to mention, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that congratulations upon that young person who identifies himself with the elderly or who behaves like the elderly. And cursed be the old person who has to imitate the young person. And this disease is unfortunately prevalent. Of the old people want to become very young. And the young person, he does not want to imitate the old, because the old are adorning the libas of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dress of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the appearance external of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is better to be branded in this world as orthodox than to be branded in the grave as akhirah. Seerat-e-Deen will refer to all those participants in Seerat-e-Deen. To explain, like how we have got in the masjid various people now who are running the affairs of the masjid. The Imam, the Muazzin, the Mutawalli, the Trustees, the Graveyard Committee, Madrasa Committee, the Darul Uloom Committee, the Maktab Committee. From the doorkeeper of the Darul Uloom or the Madrasa and Maktab, right up to the Mu'tamin, the principal, all people who are involved in the Seerat-e-Deen will come. Now their seerat, their character, their personality, their behavior will be classified as Seerat-e-Deen. Because surat is outside and sirat is inside. And it is a room. That beauty does not last forever, but character can. So Shariat wants us to develop the inside, and the outside will take its shape. Respected elders, so sirat and deen now will refer to the qualities, the osaf, the attributes of every person involved in any activity in deen. Person who is going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who is aligned to da'wat and tabligh, a person who is a mutawalli, a person who is the imam, the teacher of the hifz boys, So every person who is involved in some sort of activity of deen, he has to rectify his character, personality and his attire, bring it in conformity to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, and develop his insight so that the people, when they see him, they know that this person has got a responsible duty, that this person has got some post, and this person here, he is there for us to look at. And this is most important, respected elders. For the speaker, the orator, the writer, the teacher, the imam, the mutawalli, whatever he is doing, the one involved in being, inshallah, if he comes right, then by just his akhlaq, his character, and his good behavior, people will come towards him. The friends of the wealthy are befriended as long as they dwell. You know of one story that he narrates, a poor person who the whole locality was not greedy, and the poor person whose intercession was not accepted by anybody, and the poor person who was sidetracked and left alone became rich. No sooner he became rich, everybody began to be. No one was hijacking. So this person, what he was saying, as soon as they greeted you, Assalamu alaikum, he said, make it. I will say, no, I'll betray you. But this is going on for a while, they asked him, why are you saying this? Make it. He says, no, when I count my money in the evening, that I convey your salat to the money. You understand? Because that's what you're greedy. Whereas in Islam we're supposed to be greeting everybody, helping everybody, aiding everybody, we have your well-wishing quality for everyone. So this spirit of deen is important, and unfortunately because we are not so forceful and powerful inside, at times I feel that we are becoming hindrance to the propagation of it. Speaking and addressing myself first, you second. Thirdly, respected elders, the haqiqat revolves around the khandat. Khanda translation, poor translation of khanda in hospital. During the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was done from the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As time progressed, the first official khanda was established by Sheikh Habib Halabi. And he was the Khalifa of Hazrat Hassan Basri Ramtullah. Hazrat Hassan Basri Ramtullah most of the time is projected as a Sufi alone, whereas it's very fixed following Islam. And that portion where he's a very fixed follower of Islam is not right. Hazrat Hassan Basri Ramtullah he should come to the masjid and have his dars, his lessons in the masjid. And he had divided that after Fajr, there'll be, for example, Quran, after Zuhur, Ahadith, after Asr, Fiqh. And he should stay in the masjid and teach all the time. And any person who wanted to know something or ask something should come and he should answer. After Isha, he should go to his home. And in his home, he had a room where his close companions should come and they should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have spiritual discourse. And it was known that do not disturb him after Isha because he's going to be having spiritual discourses with these special for patients. And if someone came during or in the course of a spiritual discussion, she gets very upset. And she very clearly that you had the whole day I was in the masjid, and now you come. Here, Khalifa Hazrat Habib Halabi Rabbul Alayh officiated the Khanqa system that people should go there and later it spread in some parts of Africa, they call it the Hadra system. And people should go there and stay for 40 days. Because this 40 day Jilla concept was originally a Sufi concept. In the light of Nabi Akram Salaam in Hadith, that if you do an action for 40 days, constantly, regularly, then it will become second nature and habitual. In that light, the spiritually ill should go there, and the Shaykh should prescribe certain spiritual remedies to them for that duration and monitor them. And we have seen this in Indo-Pak. Those of you who have been to Jalalabad will know fully well that this system was prevalent there. And Hazrat Masihul Ummah, Hazrat Masihul Rahmatullah Alayh had an excellent system whereby the Muridin, the disciples, should get their spiritual prescriptions, supervision, guidance under Hazrat Masihul Rahmatullah Alayh. Now this system of Khanqa has not come into South Africa per se and has not been fully developed in our country. Whereas, honestly speaking, it should be. It should be developed on official basis, as it should be done how it was done on the days of the old, where special apartments and buildings were allocated for the Khanqa and the Mashayikh, so that the system revives and becomes prevalent again. And it should be done with proper supervision, so that the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is by no way for drifting.